Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Welcome, 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 everyone, my global family. Mwah. Love you, love you, love you. It is a beautiful, cloudy day in Florida, which means it's cooler today. We had such heat in Florida. It's like amazing. But thank you for joining me this morning for a very, very important topic. We're continuing our topic on emotional intelligence. Why? Because it is so key to our health and well-being. And it's so key to mental health. We have some issues that came up this week on the Blog Talk Female Solution family that reminded me of childhood pain. So we're going to talk a lot about that today. I have invited my guest, Prince Israelite, who I interviewed on my YouTube channel, to join me this morning. And he's going to try and chime in on his relationships that have really helped him build his empire. And I thought about, this is what we're doing here at the Female Solution. We are building a kingdom, empire of conscious individuals, especially sisters. Our intent here at the Female Solution is to develop and build sisterhood, healthy sisterhood. But believe me, we run into a lot of obstacles and criticism because we're human, and this is not easy. The Female Solution was started by Naima Latif. And she wrote a book called The Female Solution, which brings about a very unique solution to the problems of the world. And that solution is that we have healthy relationships no matter what form they're in. And especially between men and women, that we have maybe polygynous relationships or even monogamous relationships. We just want them to be healthy. And that's our intent when we come on. When we show up in this arena of global blog talk, when we show up, we're here to promote health. We're here to promote consciousness. And we had such an interesting show on Monday with Zelda. Zelda speaks. Zelda is our Monday morning mindfulness host. And that show was kind of off the chain in so many ways because there was a surprise visitor that Zelda met, I think, the night before. And this woman is part of a family of five, I think it's four sisters, and their father is in his 90s. And surprise, surprise, of all things, the one of the sisters is an infidelity specialist. Oh, blew our minds. And she showed up on Zelda's show, which was titled Cheating, Why Do I Stay? Good conversation. So it was, the conversation was so lively that Zelda's doing a part two next Monday. And this infidelity specialist really pointed out what I believe is the key to healing our relationships, especially between husbands and wives, men, women, children, all of that. And what her main point was, as she shared the infidelity that occurred in her own marriage with her husband cheating on, so-called cheating on her, was that she had to work on herself. Because what happened, she ended up getting into another relationship with a different man other than her husband. Both the husband and wife are having affairs with other people because what? They're insecure. They don't love themselves. They have problems with themselves. So this infidelity specialist pointed out to us that the key to bringing her marriage back to health and vigor and harmony was that she had to work on herself. No blaming anybody else but herself, just working on herself. Because the idea that we believe here, especially I believe, and I was married for almost 40 years to one man, but I had my affairs too, so I'm not perfect. And that's the thing about all the hosts on the Female Solution. We're not perfect. We show up in this arena because we have been working on ourselves for many years. And most of us are senior citizens, over 60. And most of us, not always, one, I think we got a youngster in the crowd who's below 60. But we all show up because we've worked on ourselves. And we're here to promote health and well-being, all of us, and consciousness. So that's why we show up. But then we have people who show up who want to criticize us for what we're doing. And I'm learning from all my teachers and all the enlightened people I listen to that when you have critics in the arena, you really have to know your value. You have to know your worth and why the Creator has put you in this type of arena. And it can't be one of a big ego. I found out that, because the ego will get crushed if you think you're going to show up in this type of arena with a big ego. Crush, crush, crush. So you have to come to this arena of Blog Talk Radio with a bit of humility. But you got to know your value, why the Creator has put you here. And I realize I've been in this arena for 9 years. The number 9 keeps coming up this year. Because something else occurred that the number 9 was, I've been doing something for 9 years. Oh, my book. I have a book I wrote, which I put on my flyer this week. My body is talking to me. And I'm going to read some of the things I wrote in that book 9 years ago. I published that book 9 years ago. Started Blog Talk Radio 9 years ago. So that was a real beginning of a nine-year period of growth for me and examining who I was, my value, why I'm here, what I'm learning, what I'm here to give you and teach. So that's just kind of an introduction to emotional intelligence, part 4, childhood pain. We're going to dig into childhood pain, and I'll be calling Prince the Israelite after our introduction, because this man is building an empire, and he has 16 children, four wives, and he's learned a lot about jealousy and emotions that can get in the way of building your empire. And that's what we're doing that here on the Female Solution. We'll be building a kingdom of conscious, woke people who love each other and who are working for a better earth. We're all working for a better earth, which means working on our relationships. So I want to just, before we roll these joints, I know that's why you came to get high, 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 and roll these joints, because that's what we're here to do, is keep this body flexible and lubricated. But this morning, when I read The Promise of a New Day, I thought, oh, I've got to share this for August 26th. It's a quote that starts out with Oscar Wilde saying, life is terribly deficient in form. Its catastrophes happen in the wrong way and to the wrong people. Ah, what does that mean? Are you kidding? Wrong way, wrong people. So the bottom line says, when a catastrophe strikes, we may be unable to turn it over to find any good in it. We don't know all there is to know. We see only a part of the world's pattern. Hanging on to a disaster multiplies its effects. We must feel our feelings and let them go. Feel our feelings and let them go. And the bottom line, I will work for surrender and acceptance. The days to come will hold brand new possibilities. And that's what we want to work on today. We want to work on surrender and acceptance of the things I cannot change, and have the courage to change the things I can. That's a serenity prayer. We want to bring serenity to you today. We must feel our feelings and let them go. And that's where we get into real challenges and problems. People don't let go of their feelings. And especially that's why we have a lot of adults carrying childhood pain. They couldn't let go of the feelings as a child because they didn't know how to. They just stuffed them in, accumulating more pain, more pain, more pain, more pain. Until now as adults, we got a bunch of alcoholics who don't know how to process the pain they've had as children for all these years, from the childhood age. And we want to help you let go of some of that childhood pain today. And no better way, I think, than to talk to a grown man, a mature man who has dealt with a lot of emotions because he has 16 children and four wives. And he's learned about jealousy in a big way and all the emotions that can be stirred up in a polygynous relationship. But we have people who are not even in polygynous relationships, and they can't even live together in harmony. So we're going to talk about all that today after we roll some joints. So let's get busy with some Time for Healing by the Sounds of Blackness, so we can loosen up our neck, all the way from our neck to our toes. We want to loosen up every part of this temple body we live in and get ready to explore today the childhood pain and dissolve it, hopefully, and move into a place of consciousness and being your full, healthy self. Let's try and be our full, healthy self. As this said, I will work for surrender and acceptance. The days to come will hold brand new possibilities. When we work for surrender and acceptance, believe me, the new possibilities that show up will blow your mind. And that's how my life has been for the last, three, 4 years, just surrendering, accepting. And then I have this brand new home I live in, this small shed. I don't pay rent. I don't pay a Wi-Fi, but I have it all. I have a comfortable place with a bed, a roof, rent, and I pay very few bills here because I have learned how to surrender and accept, especially the things I cannot change. And I am influencing lots of people in my life for the good. I have some stories I want to tell you, but let's use some joint rolling and loosen up all these joints. So let's start with our neck. We're going to start with our neck, roll our neck around, and then do our shoulders, and then we're going to get on our back, kick those legs and arms up, and roll the joints. Must be a bird. Okay, here we go.
It's time for healing. Take a look around. This world is all insane.
And let's sit here for just a minute. Rub those hands together. Place them on the back of the neck. Squeeze and release. Squeeze and release. Getting that vagus nerve activated. And moving. Activated and moving. Activated and moving. Activated, activated, and moving. Activated and moving. Whew. All right. Woo, you did it. Give yourself a hand. And we're going to get busy in the studio talking about emotional intelligence. I'm moving back to my studio here with my dad behind me. That's my dad back there in the picture, Football and Beyond. And I'm going to play an audio for you about emotional intelligence. In case you missed the last three parts about emotional intelligence, why are we doing this? Why do we keep going to emotional intelligence part 1, 2, 3, and 4? Because it is key to health and well-being. People who are dying because they don't have emotional intelligence, in my opinion. They have not learned to process the childhood pain, especially. So I'm going to play that while I contact my guest, Prince Yisraelite. But here's just a 3-minute introduction into the topic, emotional intelligence, and then we're going to get into the childhood pain that so many of us have struggled with.
Emotional intelligence refers to the ability to recognize, interpret, and process emotions in yourself and others. While genetics, upbringing, and environment all play a role, there are steps you can take to develop your emotional intelligence over time. Get to know yourself. Emotionally intelligent people are self-aware. They have a realistic appreciation of their strengths and weaknesses and how they come across to others. Peer feedback is one way of improving your self-awareness.
Good morning, Prince. It's Beata. Are you available for a few minutes?
Sure. Yes, I am. Do I need to call in somewhere special?
No, you're in the studio, so I'm going to bring you on. We're going to end that audio. My guest, Prince Yisraelite, is in the studio with us, and he's a very busy man. So I'm going to let him share a little bit about emotions that he has encountered as a kingdom empire building man, brother, and the women in his life who have demonstrated emotions that he has had to, I would say, manage and help process. Would that be a good word to say?
Yeah, that's a good bit to say.
Okay, so you could just introduce yourself briefly, and then tell us about your empire building experience, especially when it comes to relationships with women, because I believe the brothers want sisterhood, strong sisterhood. I know you. That's what you have to have in your empire building business. You have to have a strong sisterhood. Is that not right?
Yeah, that's correct. I like to give all honor and praise unto the Most High King of all creation first, acknowledging the Creator and everything, because without Him, we would have nothing.
All right, now.
So, yeah, my name is Prince Israel. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I'm the founder and spiritual leader of Temple Kefirim, a spiritual community located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, /Sparta, Georgia. We have a community down there that we're building also. And my experiences with relationships between men and women and trying to build the empire, before I say anything to the contrary, it's just that it's a hard job. It's a very difficult job, and you yourself as a spiritual leader or as the man in the situation has to remain focused at all times. The littlest thing that you do will take you off your point, off square, and you won't be able to manage things properly because you allow interruptions to interfere with your conscious thinking, your pattern of thinking, your ability to think. And if you have a woman that's rebellious, disrespectful, or half-hearted in the situation with you, it's going to make your job twice as hard. Not as impossible, but just twice as hard. And in the end, you'll probably end up not having that woman around, because tension cannot exist but for so long before something breaks. And usually it's the relationship that would break. But on the other side of things, I'm going to say this, because I have to be honest and truthful. We cannot do it without our women. The women are the backbone to any structure, empire. You know, women don't get enough credit for the roles that they play in building great nations and empires. They don't get the credit for it. And I think that as men, we have to be more cognitive of the role, more thoughtful of the role that these women play in building anything, especially in these countries. It's not that the men are not the head, but without our women, it will be a very difficult journey, extremely difficult, almost impossible. And what I've learned over the years is that usually the women are more involved than most men you have in your circle. You know, when you got a bad one, you got to get rid of her. And you have to know what the signs are of a bad woman. And when I say bad woman, we're talking about, I haven't even gotten into the household yet. I'm just dealing with, in a community, disrespectful women, women who don't really want to participate. And I'm focusing on this because I was asked about women. Not that I have a hatred or dislike toward women. I honor my women, my sisters. I honor them and my mothers. I honor them all. And I have a high respect for them. But the question was asked to me about some of the problems with the bad women. So that's what I'm speaking about. And if you're not a bad woman, don't worry about it. And even if you find that you are a bad woman, through this conversation, you'll have the opportunity to see yourself and possibly make a difference and become a better woman.
Now, okay, so break down that word bad for us, because I don't like to use bad, good, wrong, right, but I would say a difficult woman. Can you elaborate on bad or difficult?
Okay, I'll use that word difficult, and I think that's a better term, difficult. When you have someone who tells you they're with you, and they show you they're with you by showing up to the meetings, coming to the classes, but yet they have a lack of participation when they're there, that's not a good situation. If somebody is get something out of it, but don't give anything into it, pretty much shouldn't receive anything out of it, except when it's times that they're not able to give. If they're not able to give, then you give freely to them as much as you can. But people who are able to give and just don't give, that's my terminology of, what was that new word we were going to use? Not bad, but what was the other word?
Difficult.
Difficult, yes, difficult. I got to incorporate that into my my language.
Or even challenging.
I think that's a better approach to it.
Or even challenging, because when you're challenged by a man or a woman, you have to really stop and be patient more than ever.
That would be a bad thing, because a woman should never challenge her man. The only thing she can challenge him at is to be better. But even in that, it's a way in which she does it to help to improve that. And it's all about how the man sees it. If the man sees it as a challenge, then he has a problem. I don't see my women helping me or correcting me as a challenge. So I don't think that it's the challenge in my mind, in my understanding. The difficult women is difficult. They just don't help. They're in the way. They do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it. And as you all should know, when you're a part of a team, you do what needs to be done, even if you don't want to do it, even if you don't feel like doing it. You do what needs to be done in order for the team to progress. If not, then you're a hindrance to the progression of the team. and you're actually in the way. And when you're working on a community, you need individuals that's going to participate. And I've learned over the years that there are different types of individuals that will be a part of your community or your organization or anything that you build. Very few people will be there for the genuine purpose of building. Most people will be there to get what they can get out of the situation. Whether it's a man sitting around waiting for a woman to pop up so he can jump on her and pull her away from the community and do all kind of sexual things to her and then mess her mind up and then kick her to the curb. Rather, it's a woman that's really looking for a man but doesn't know how to maintain a relationship with a man. So she gets this man, and she get rid of that man, go to this man, and then when she finishes with that man, go to the next man. Everybody's not there just because you're building something. A lot of people are there with their own agenda. And then sometimes people are there just to try to destroy what you're doing, because as humans, if we're not doing it, we have a problem with somebody else doing it. And that's a poison, and I don't think that that should be there. So you have to be real careful about the individuals, not that you could ever be 100%, but you have to be real careful about the individuals that are with you, that are walking with you, that are helping you, because if they're truly helping, they have to be giving. Most people that are giving don't have time for that other stuff, the other things that I mentioned earlier. It's usually the ones that are not giving that sits in the background and lurk and look for opportunity in different ways to do negative things that they shouldn't do. I hope that answers your question. If it doesn't, I can
well,
answer
yes,
some more.
It does. And in terms of your own personal family dynamics, what have you seen with the women in your family in terms of jealousy? And have you ever been digging deep enough to see the childhood pain in some of the dynamics of jealousy?
Yeah. Okay, that's a great question. A lot of the jealousy that you see within the structure of having multiple nashim, multiple wives, it's basically comes from the way that they were raised, but not necessarily the family structure. The family structure is usually the mother, the father, if they had a mother and father. Some didn't. But the family structure is usually geared or programmed based on the culture or the society in which you live. Like, for example, most of our people today that live here in America has a Western mind state of doing things. We go to
right.
church. We believe in one man, one wife. And these things, they're not really our culture as us, as a people. It's something that was given to us and we learned. Like, for example, we go out every day, and this is a big one that most people don't even notice, but some people might argue with me about it, but it's okay. This is a big one. We go out every day. We go to work for 8 hours a day. We see our children for the remainder of the day, and you're usually wore out and you're tired during that time. And you do that for what, 60-something years, supposedly? When do you have the opportunity to really enjoy life? No. Not take a vacation, but really enjoy being alive. See, in our culture, we enjoyed being alive while we made a living, and we stayed home and did it with our families. That's how we raised them. But in this culture here today, it's about individuality. They're more geared toward teaching us to be separate individualists. That's how they've designed everything. And the family structure has diminished substantially from the ancient days. Even when you check through history, let's say from 1920 till today, women who used to stay home and take care of the families were more involved in the households than they are today. The men would go out and work, come home, the women would take care of the family, take care of the homes. But now today, everything is a challenge. I don't want to get off the point. That's another subject, I guess, for another day. But usually the family is programmed how to think, and with that individual thinking that they teach us, it creeps in and opens the door for jealousy. So if you're doing for one wife what you're not doing for the other wife, or you might did it a different way for the other wife, because there is no such thing as equality in this way of life. When you have multiple women, you don't worry about being equal with anybody, because that's another thing that they, another dynamic that they put in that doesn't apply if you're going to do it the right way. My understanding is that you be fair with everyone. It's not about being equal, but you be fair, which means I wouldn't buy one or a brand new Mercedes Benz and then have the other one catching a bus. Yeah, that's not fair. And that would raise some type of jealousy within her toward the one that you got driving the brand new Mercedes Benz because she's catching the bus. Even if she's giving her a ride to wherever she got to go in that brand new Mercedes Benz, but she doesn't own a car or a vehicle or something even close to that, it's going to make her feel a certain type of way in a negative sense, which is going to make her be rebellious where ordinarily she wouldn't be rebellious. She's not going to put all of her energy into doing the right things in that marriage because she feels slighted, mistreated, disrespected. So it's really important that the man focus. His mind has to be clear. A lot of the jealousy that rise up in a woman because of the way her husband is treating another one of his, her sister wives, I think that, in my opinion, if the man doesn't get rid of that jealousy or approach and attack that jealousy the moment he sees it, then he's done himself a disfavor. Because the only thing that's going to happen is that jealousy is going to grow. It's going to start off small, but it's going to grow, it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and eventually he's going to have chaos and hatred and turmoil in his home. I don't have that. And if it does show its face, I approach it. I deal with it. And I, you know, how you deal with it, you sit down, you talk with him, and you explain to him why that's not good. It can't be this way. And if she continues to move in that direction, she has to be replaced. It's just that simple. It has, things have to be done a certain way, especially in this culture. It has to be done a certain way in order for the marriage, the union, to be successful. I hope that answers your question.
It does. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, brother. Childhood pain. You have, what did you say, 16 children?
Yes.
What's been your disciplinary action with those children, and how have the wives agreed or not agreed? Have you had any conflict in the way you discipline, and how have you been disciplining those children?
Yeah, you got a lot of conflict. I've had a lot of conflict in the way I discipline my children. But when I was raising the older of my children, I was a different man. And then I changed along the way and became a different man. And this is how, when I speak, I know how to speak in a way that would be more effective because I've learned from my own mistakes. When you're disciplining your children, you have to remain consistent with the discipline. And one of the problems is if your woman is not on the same page with you, once you're out of their presence, that discipline don't matter. It's now going to be up to her in how she does what she does with the children. And if you got a bad woman or if she got flaws in her that needs to be addressed, she's going to give the children her rules when you're not home. Not good. It has to be a consistent. So your wife has to be on the same page with you all the way around. And even when you're not present, the same rules that you had regulating your household should still be enforced. And if it's not that way, your children will grow up favoring comfort and pleasure over discipline.
Oh, my goodness.
Let me give you an example. Yeah, let me give you an example. And I'm not saying that this is how you have to run your household. I'm just going to share with you how I ran mine. My children were, when they were all young, we didn't eat meat in my household. You know, we were vegan or vegetarian for them. I'm vegan. But for them, they were vegetarian. The only thing they ate was fish. Nothing else, none of that other stuff was allowed in my house. My children very rarely got sick. they, I would almost say almost never did they get sick. And, but they hated it. The women at that time, I had three wives at that time. The women never liked being vegan or vegetarian. They didn't
wow.
like it. They did it. They did it because I didn't allow that stuff in my home. But when they go to work, they would eat chicken. When they go to work for their lunch, they would eat chicken, stuff like that. So it was really something that they wanted to do that they never got. And I don't force anybody to do anything. If you don't do it, then I don't want you. If you don't want to do what I ask you to do, then I don't want you to do it. So when they chose to eat chicken outside of the home, that was their decision. So now, remember when I said when you're not there, your rules are not enforced? It now becomes her rules that she enforced. So this is what used to happen. My children used to get a taste of whatever they wanted when they was in the streets. And in my home, when I'm not around, she would order pizza and let the children eat pizza. Pizza is cow's milk. Cow's milk is meat. It's the same thing. Shouldn't eat it. And I would hear her sometimes say things like, hurry up and eat that. Hurry up. Make sure the box is in the trash before your father get home. The word from father in Hebrew is Abba. So what was she teaching my children? To be deceptive, to dislike, and it was all geared toward the relationship with their father, which wasn't good. But as a man, you don't know this. You think that your rules are being followed. Sometimes you need to ask questions. Sometimes you need to talk. But I found out that these sneaky things was going on when I wasn't present, as when they
wow.
were in their youth.
Mm-hmm.
So now the children, around 17, 18, they get to grow up a little bit, and they experience life. And when they start experiencing life, they had the freedom to eat whatever they wanted, whatever they wanted. As Israelites, we don't eat shrimp. We don't eat crabs, oysters, clams, any of those things. So my children went out and experimented, not all of them, but some of them. And sometimes I would come home into their house, into the house, my house. They was a little older. And I would find things in my refrigerator that was forbidden for them to eat. So I throw it in trash. I have a talk with them, and I do away with it. Now that they got their own homes, guess how they eat?
Vegetarian.
Vegetarian.
Or meat.
No, they don't eat meat at all. They went right back to the way that they were raised when they were little, that they rejected because of the teachings of their mother.
Wow.
When you have a woman in your household that's not on the same page as you 100%, she will bring disruption, chaos, disrespectful actions, all types of things. Even through your children, she has a direct effect on them. But when my children became adults and they were able to really do for themselves in their own homes, they realized the benefit of eating healthy. So they left
wow.
all the meat alone. And this is almost every one of them, almost every one of them, with the exception of one. They left all the meat alone. They're vegetarian now. Even not just my children, but my nieces, my nephews, who used to laugh at the way that I had my household running, now they're eating and living the way that we ate and lived, and they learned it from us. But in their youth, they rejected it, and the women enforced the rejection, and that's part of the reason why they rejected it, because the women, I don't know what it is with a child and his mother. I honestly don't know. Women got this control. The children love their mother. There's nothing that a mother could do to make her child not desire her. Most cases. Not in every case, but in most cases, there's almost nothing that a mother can do. And the children favor the mother over the father. But when they grow up, the responsibility of the father kicks in more than it did when their children was favoring the mother. They lean more toward the father's teachings. This is from my experiences. They lean toward the father's teachings more so than the mother's teachings, and this is both male and females, when they become adults, and if they got a father that's a real, in their lifetime father that's educated, not just somebody just existing, but somebody that's just really there There's a difference. There's a different dynamic there. And that's from my experiences. And I got 16 children. And I got maybe about six of them that's underage now, 18 or down. But the majority of them is 24, 25, on up to 33, maybe 34 now. And all of the ones, with the exception of one, is living that lifestyle.
Wow, that's beautiful. We've got a couple of callers who may want to ask questions. Can you hang on for some questions?
Sure. I pulled over now. I'm sitting on the side of the road waiting for you.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you, my brother. I'm going to open up a few hands raised and see if they have questions for you, starting with 779-801. Welcome, and do you have a comment or question from my guest, Prince Israel?
Yeah, giving honor to God. This is Maika. Greetings and of peace and love to both you and your guests, Giada.
Thank you, Maika.
The first question I would like to ask is, are you a member of the Hebrew Israelites that Prince Nathaniel Ben Israel was the leader of?
Shalom, my sister. Thank you.
Shalom.
We are all affiliated. I know Prince Asiel, and he's a very good elder that we do speak to from time to time. Matter of fact, I just left him in Chicago not too long ago, about maybe 6 months ago. I was in Chicago with him. But Prince Asiel is no longer with us. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes, I found that out this morning. That's one of the reasons I was asking. And I'm visiting the Philadelphia area right now. And the question is, how many wives do you have now?
Four.
Okay. I myself experienced many of the things that you spoke about. I did grow up in a situation, I was an adult in a situation where I had sister wives, although I'm not a member of the Hebrew Israelites officially. And I saw those things, and I remember even growing up in my own home, how my mother did the same thing which you talked about. My father would give me and my brother instructions of work to do. And when he'd leave, my mother would sometimes say to us, "You all go on out and play, I'll do the work. I'll do your housework." And as I meditated on that as a child, even as a child, I had a sense that that was incorrect and that that was pitting me against my father because it was making me lie to him. It's like he's under the belief that I am doing what he has instructed me to do, but mother has undercut his rulership, and now I'm pretending that I did it and getting the rewards because we got what they call us, some money for doing our work, allowances, right? So I sensed that, and I remember a couple of times I tell my mom, "No, Mom, I'm just going to do what Dad told me to do." And I'm sure there were other instances also. And I could really see the effect of that on my father's relationship with my brother because it was really weakened as a result of what my mother did. So I agree. That is a real problem that women tend to do. They tend to sneak around behind men's back and do what they want to do. And
that's
I remember
correct.
Being jealous in the situation. At one time, I was so jealous that I didn't even want to wake up. And I'd wake up in the morning, I just want to go back to sleep because I was so jealous. But my mindset is always, to find the problem, to eliminate the problem. So then I began to ask questions. I asked God, how do I overcome this jealousy? And I was told to go to the library, and I went to the library, and Spirit told me to just walk down this aisle, and I walked down the aisle. And Spirit said, look up on the top shelf. And I looked up on the top shelf, and there was a book, and the name of it was Jealousy. And I grabbed the book, and I was able to read the book. And as a result, I could get a handle on jealousy because I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know You have to have an understanding of something. You can't control what you don't know. In other words, so I didn't know anything about jealousy. I had never experienced it before, except in this situation with one of my sister wives. And so I devoured the book, and I became knowledgeable about jealousy and was eventually able to overcome jealousy and no longer interfered in other people's relationship or compared myself to other women. I stayed in my center, what I could control, me, because it was all about me. So what I realized in that is that, you know, knowledge is important, and a lot of times women, especially black women in America, growing up in America, don't have a lot of knowledge, and they don't aren't scholarly and don't pursue knowledge and information to better themselves. And so without a program initiated by the husband or the community to help women to seek knowledge, to better themselves, to raise their self-esteem, self-worth, and wisdom, it's not going to come naturally, because outside of the community, there are always women who are going to be programming them in the ways of the society as it is now.
That's right.
Because I know my mama used to say to me when I was in the relationship, "You're just a damn fool." That's what she called me. I had to overcome that. I had to do what I chose to do. Yes, that was programming. I had to do what I had to do regardless of how people thought about me. So I had to have a strong character to let that stuff bounce off of me, because I didn't know a lot about, you know, how society programmed. There was a lot of ignorance in me at one time. So I didn't know a lot, but I did know not to let other people control my life or try to influence me. So as a result, I was very successful. And I had one sister wife who, she was so beautiful, and I was so beautifully in love with her. And we were in love with each other, not at a physical level, but in terms of a spiritual and a soul level. And she was just a blessing in my life, and I was a blessing in her life. She was the type of woman who my children, they would tell her their problems. They wouldn't tell me because I'm the mama, but they would tell her, and then she'd come and tell me, and I wouldn't tell them what she told me, but then I could pray about the problems that they had, because she and I were together on raising the children, and that probably was the most beautiful experience I had in the relationship.
Yeah. And that's what we're, you know what, that's what we're promoting, is a stronger, healthier sisterhood. And that's difficult, wouldn't you say, Prince Israel?
It's extremely difficult.
It really is.
But if you have willing minds and the man has the right structure within his makeup, it'll be a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when the women are on the same page like that, the man becomes jealous. Because he doesn't know how to manage it. He doesn't.
I've experienced
that
also. Like we've gone beyond him, right? And he's like, "Let me pull y'all back down so that y'all don't get ahead of me here."
I don't get in their way. I let them do
their
thing. If that union is there, it has to be nurtured. It has to be enhanced.
Right.
It has to be embraced by the man. And if he knows what he's doing, he'll be more successful in a relationship like that than with the women fighting against each other and rebelling.
True. I have 6 children. And as a mother, I don't have favorites. You know, I just love them all. I could say it's equal, but it's justly, you know. And I perceive that men could do that with wives, too. That men could treat women the same way mothers treat their children. Each one of them is different. And so you give them what they need, not what they give. You don't give one the same thing you give the other. But you take into account their personality and what they need, and there is a sense of equality and justice within the relationship. So they never fought. They have antagonisms as adults. But as children, they didn't fight, argue, or have a problem. So I think that I think that those relationships are very possible with a strong man as the leader. And I think it's important for American women to participate in relationships with men who have other wives, primarily because it allows a woman to grow, because she has to look at herself in terms of jealousy, competition, pettiness. There are no other situations, basically, where you really have to look at yourself and grow beyond those things. So I'm a better person as a result of that.
Thank you so much.
And Viata, I just wanted to say I missed the other three shows, but when I hear emotional intelligence of that word, it says to me heart intelligence.
Yeah.
Because emotions flow from the heart.
All right.
And most people in America have hardened hearts. Their hearts are hard. And so love, which is the most important emotion that comes through the heart, is blocked as all these other things come out. Jealousy and competition and grief and sadness and hate and all that
and
fear.
And I think
that's the problem. Mm-hmm.
And Maika, I think the reason we do have so many hardened hearts is because of my childhood pain. We have a lot of adults who haven't resolved or healed their childhood traumas and pains, and they're drowning in alcohol or drugs or jealousy or all the other heart issues that come up. So thank you so much.
You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. Because most of these things form in our childhood. And we don't have a way of method or a system that helps us to eliminate and rise above these toxic emotions, as you know. So thank you for the show. And thank you for the gift.
I appreciate your contribution. It's very valuable. Thank you. Prince Israel, did you have a comment to her statement at all?
Yeah. She's experienced some wonderful things, but I did want to ask her a question. The polygynous marriage you were in, the one that you were in, what happened to it? Where is it now? And where are the people now?
Oh, that's a great question.
If you can make it brief, yeah.
I can. Well, my husband, former husband, he's deceased. And my sister wives, they're deceased. And I literally feel at a loss because we grew together. And I don't have people now who I can relate to at the level that I related to them because of the growth that took place. I grew exponentially. I remember one time coming home to Chicago, visiting my friends, and one of them was, you know, women get together, we talk about men. And one of them said, well, he looked at another woman, and she was upset about that. I said, well, I can't tell her what I'm going through because she wouldn't understand any of that, you know, because she's upset about a man looking at another woman. So, you know, that's what I find. I find women who have very low emotional intelligence, so I can't relate. So I'm kind of at a loss at this point for relationships because that which I know works is gone. Thank you for the question.
Thank you. Let me go to the next call. I have skipped the commercial I'm going to have to go to commercial the next hour, but let me go to the next caller and see if they have a question or comment. I know you're busy today. 773-366. You have a question or comment for our guest?
Yeah, but I'll let you go ahead and go to the commercial first because I know it's right at the top of the hour. So I'll wait till after the commercial.
All right, thank you. And then we have another caller, 111. I'll wait until after the break. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back to our guest and your questions. So we can stay. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we're back. We're going to keep going because I don't want to hold my guest too long because he has a business to run and an empire to run. So I so appreciate Prince Israel being here. And I'm going to go back to 773-366. Naima Latif is our executive producer, and she has a comment or a question for you.
Yes, and welcome to your guest. You know, speaking of Prince Asio Ben Israel, I had an opportunity to travel with Prince Asiel and members of the Hebrew Israelites to Liberia for the World Conference of Mayors back in 1984, I think the end of 1984. And I had a chance to observe the relationship. You know, we stayed at Prince Asiel's, one of his houses in Israel. I mean, not in Israel, in Liberia. And I had a chance to observe the relationship between, you know, the co-wives and so forth. And I also had a chance to interview one of the women who were in a polygamous relationship within that community for my book, The Female Solution. And she explained how she went about endearing, you know, the first wife in the relationship before her entering the family. So one of the things that I've observed in the process of helping American-born, you know, Christian-based women understand the relationship, one of the challenges that I've had is helping them to see the reason for the relationship. First of all, it being compassion between women and realizing that every woman needs and should have a loving relationship, and sometimes you're going to be attracted to the same man because, you know, the compatibility. So first of all, there has to be compassion, you know, and not this, well, I don't want her to have what I have kind of selfishness, because you can't have a society when you have selfishness. And the second thing is the understanding, like the brother's talking about, it's about building a community. So you're forming family groups that make sure the entire community is healthy and everyone's needs are met. So it's first the altruistic reason for it, and not the this is mine and you can't have it kind of selfishness that we learn in American culture, as Maika was saying. But then the third challenge that I've experienced in explaining this culture and this way of life and this form of family to American-born men is that it's not about you playing women. And the, unfortunately, the only model that they have is like the pimp model where, you know, I run my stable and I make these women behave. And a lot of men getting an ego kick out of playing women against each other. I'm going to get this one jealous of me and then I'll make her do this because she'll be competing with that one, which does not bring harmony. And you definitely can't build an empire with that idea. So my question is, how do you help American-born men, particularly if they've been raised in a religion that says you can only have one wife, and so their idea is, okay, I'm going to have my wife, and then I'm going to have my girlfriend on the side that I keep secret, and that's the only way they know, or the pimp model where, you know, I don't have a wife, I just have women that I'm playing. How do you help a man with that mentality transition to a spiritual understanding of why he's building a family and why his relationship with the women is based on respect, and how to go about building such a family so that there is not that jealousy, competition, and anger and resentment going on? How do you do that as a man, or can you do that as a man?
Yeah, you can. It can be done. And welcome to you, sis. Thank you for the question. Another profound question. And that's a very good question. I don't know if I've ever been asked that question before, but the answer is simple. The sister earlier spoke about programming. I'm not sure the sister's name, but she spoke about programming.
Maika.
Okay. When I spoke earlier, I also spoke about programming, but I spoke about the ways that the society affects the way that we think and how we feel and what we understand and the teachings, how wrong the teachings are. As a young man in Philadelphia, I grew up just like most of those young men that you're speaking about today. And I did exactly those things plus more that you mentioned. But when I got a certain age, I became spiritually grounded in the Creator, in the truth. I gravitated towards something that was greater than myself. And it caused me to really look and see myself, and the things that I had been taught by the elder men in my life, it was no longer any good because it didn't fit the new understanding that I had of life. But the key to it, sis, is this. They have to want to do it. If they don't want to do it, they're going to remain the people that they are today. Creator can change them. We can't change them. They have to want to do it, and then the Most High has to intervene. Because if not, we're going to get a lot of men, and this is a problem, and this is a very, 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 very serious problem from leadership all the way down to regular, ordinary men that walk and claim some type of faith. All they do is camouflage what they've been doing, and they don't change. So except if they really want to change, they're not going to change. They're just going to get slicker at what they do and put it under the cloak of religion and tear the lives up of many more women and destroy them. And that's not a good thing. So in order to effectively do what you just mentioned, the individuals have to want to do it, first of all. And then when they find a man that's respectable, that they can honor, take hold of that man's garment and say, hey, listen, lead me to the Creator. Teach me to be a man. Because a lot of men, although they're males and they're of age, they're not men. And that's the difference. Most males don't even come close to being a man. And that's what a lot of us don't understand. And a lot of them probably listening to the program is going to, you know, say smart things. Oh, Prince, you don't know what you're talking about. How you gonna say a man is not a male is not a man? It's a fact. It's truthful. A man does certain things in lives and principles that males don't do. Small example. A man would never beg a woman for anything. Anything. If she wants to give, she'll give. If you can convince her to give, then you convince her to give through your actions, not with your mouth. And not by trying to force her. Every time I start talking, y'all be bringing up some good stuff, and my mind just be going to some other areas of a deeper surface level, not the surface level, but a deeper level of what these issues are arriving from. So to hush my mouth real quick, let me just put it like this. When you're dealing with a male, a male will abuse a woman. A male will take advantage of a woman, play women. He'll have more than one wife or more than one woman and play them against each other. And a male lies. And that's part of the problem. He get caught in his lie. Then that did damage to the female. Now she don't want to trust males because she turned and do other stuff. Men don't handle life the way males do. Men are honorable. Men stand up and tell you the truth, whether it hurts your feelings or not. Men don't do things to intentionally cause chaos, dissension, disrespect. Men don't move like that. And the problem is we have too many males and not enough men. Men is all about being honorable in everything that we do, everything. And that's the key to having multiple women is you have to be honorable. You don't just blatantly disrespect your woman. You don't make her feel small or little. You don't make her feel jealous of a sister wife or anyone else that she may have to have relationship while being married to you. You have to let her know that she is your woman and that the other one may be your woman as well, but you treat each one of them with a form of fairness. Again, not equality,
but fairness. And the sister said it, and she hit around the head. You meet each one of them where their demands are for you in their lives. That's what you supply them with. And then you'll be fine. But most males today, you can't make a male be a man unless he's willing to learn how to be a man. And the first principle about being a man is being honest. And that's I would pray that that individual who fits your criteria, my sister, of becoming a man and leaving those streets alone and changing his life and wanting to do all those things, I pray that that happens more and more with our males today, that we take on the cloak of being a man and become honorable, and that will help the nation stand.
That's some deep, deep, deep truth and wisdom, Prince, because what I see men who do lie, I think they learn that as children. Just as Maika shared and what you share, we learn how to lie because our parents are bringing conflict about what is right and what's wrong, and they're hiding things. And as a child, you're watching these parents do these things, and your parents are lying. Men learn how to lie from their parents, as you demonstrated in Maika. We're watching these imperfect parents, and most of us had them, who are pitting the man and the children against the father and so forth. And that's where I see the males today have a hard time being honest, because they still have these childhood programs that they haven't let go of. And become more honest and men of integrity and forthright. So that's how I see that. We got one more caller, and then we're going to go on. 111, your mic is open.
Shalom, greetings, my sisters and brothers. How y'all
greetings.
Doing?
Good, how are you?
Oh, it's a masterful program you got going there. You know, I think childhood experiences matter, but just like the brother said, you know, people make choices of their own. You know, unfortunately, I didn't think that those sisters was trying to disrespect him, or like when he said, when he do the thing behind your back and your dad tells you to do something once he leaves. It's undercutting it, but I actually think that it doesn't necessarily mean they're doing it spitefully. It can be unconsciously doing something to win favor in your own right. That's why a lot of times you have to be on the right mindset or equal mindset, or people have to have the freedom to think. And just like you said, in your household, you all were vegans throughout, but then when they grew up, they wanted to try something different. Why shouldn't they? If they decide they want to stay that way, and then they go back to it anyway because it was the best choice. But all of us have the options for making choice. Now, one of the problems is insecurity, because traditional society and the religious teaches us about marriage and how it should be. The sad part is it's not even realistic. If you get in a marriage and you're a better person because you meet somebody that enhances you, you automatically become more desirable to everyone else around you because you're advanced. So how someone would be surprised that if you're successful with the marriage, that all these other people are being attracted to you, they're attracted perhaps to what you can offer them. The other piece is, even in multiple relationships, none are the same, because you're taking, you know, combination of different gifts and talent that makes something different. So there really isn't any competition at all. It's just sad that in society, that's the way it goes. Now, my own personal experience is funny. Me and one of my Hebrew friends, we were talking. We've been friends maybe 40 years. And he was telling me from way back when, you know, it wasn't like you thought, because in society, in American society, if you talk to several women, then they make it out like you're a player and all this type of foolishness. But if you're an upright man that has spiritual information and this type of stuff, and you have a lot to offer people and compassion and heartfelt, all these types of gifts, you're going to be attracted to help numerous of people. And that's sort of like what has happened to me over the years. My Hebrew friends, hey, man, the women would just be just automatically attracted to you. They would just come to you because they knew you had what was required. That's a gift from the Most High. It was not based even on sexuality as much as it is meeting people where they are, giving them something to advance them. That's what endears them to us. And sadly to say, we really need more of that for our community. Because the sad part is, even though we're supposed to be in a different society, people still cheat. They still have children out of other relationships. They do all this other stuff. But what I've learned, my lesson, I believe, is this. I learned to introduce everybody to everybody. And I've learned that more recently than before. But I insist, everybody that I know, male, female, if I meet somebody, I introduce them to my wife or whoever. Or we'll have a three-way conversation. You got to try that because at the end of the day, we find we have so much in common. And a lot of times the jealousy and all of that is unnecessary. And if it was just placed on hold long enough to have an adult conversation, we probably would end up with a triangle that becomes a circle of love. And that's what our generation, our people need. It's about love. It's not about multiple people or any of that because in life, multiple people come to you anyway, and all of the people that you can reach, you will reach them. Everybody's being reached in their minds and in their heart. And that's divine. So when you're reaching people in their hearts and their minds, everybody grows. That's why the brother said you're building a community. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Thank you. Did you have a question for him or no? Okay, we're going to go on. Now, you know, something he brought up about love, Prince, you said that when we talked on my YouTube channel, you made a very poignant and deep point about it's not about love so much as purpose. Can you just speak on that for just a little bit? Because I thought that was very important because we talk about love, 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 and we get lost in that word. My husband used to tell me, I love you every day. Until I left the bedroom, when I left the bedroom because our relationship was just in the basement, he never said I love you again. So speak about purpose, will you? Because we got to go above the love issue.
Yeah, what love got to do with it? that's the reality of it. That love thing is again, it's everything points back to this Western mind state. All the problems, the situations we have as a people, it goes right back to how we were raised in this culture of Western mind state that we have. This thing about love, we don't even know what love is. Most of us have it, but don't even understand that it's there or what it is. And it ain't got nothing to do with how somebody makes me feel. Because you make me feel googly. You make me feel, and they all of a sudden believe that they're in love. So they go out and they give their bodies to this man, or this man gives his money to this woman and his body to this woman, and we in love, and he expects her to be a certain way. She expects him to be a certain way. And I love you, I love you, I love you. And we live in 10 years together talking about I love you. And the moment things does not go or difficult roads come in or things happen that you don't like, where's the love at then? We separate, we break up, we divorce because it wasn't love. It wasn't love. Most families, and it's this same thing that I've already explained last time, and I truly, firmly believe in it. The closest thing that I've seen to love other than the Creator's love for the people is a mother love for the child. The mother will love that child, the father too, will love that child almost no matter what that child does. And it never changes. Ain't even got to speak to the child, but we love them. And we'll look out for them. We'll make sure they're cool and make sure they're safe. We'll make sure they got what they need. Now, this is not in every case, but in 90% of the cases, it is. It's factual and it's true. But the relationships that we get into today in this culture that we live in this social system, the way it's designed, the relationships that we get in today, most of them are fabricated off of lies, deceit, and personal gain, dealing with that emotion that we call love. And it's not what real love is at all. And, of course, love is different things to everybody. You know, that's the way that a lot of people say it when they want to shut you down or make you be quiet for speaking your truth. Love is different to everybody. What you think is love ain't what I might think is love. That's okay. That's because you're thinking. I'm speaking the fact of what love really is. See, no matter what we do to the Most High, he still provides for us. The earth is still here. We still have breath. I mean, I'm going on a spiritual level. A lot of people might not want to travel there, so I'm going to keep it back down here on the earthly level that we can understand, and that's through the way of relationship. There are some people who actually love their mate. There are some. Most of them don't. Most of them
The relationship is geared off of what you do for me and how you make me feel. But when that feeling of them doing for you and the feeling of how they make you feel is no longer present, the love disseminates, she says, or he says, well, I'm no longer in love with you. I want a divorce. Or I'm finished with you. I want a divorce. I got two women in my life, two of them that I'm married to. My wives, we don't even have intercourse. And I know I'm telling my business, but I'm going to have to make this point clear because I'm on a different level of understanding. We do for each other way beyond the sex in the bed. It has nothing to do with it. And that's what a lot of people build their love for another person off of. What you can do for me and make me feel is causing me to love you. I have two that I don't even touch sexually, but we take care of each other. Most women don't know how to please a man if they're not having sex. Most men don't know how to please a woman if he's not providing for her something out of his pocket. It's an illusion. These are the things, the principles of purpose that we have to get back to. Why would I marry you? What benefit can you bring to my life? How can you help me to get where I'm going? What purpose do you serve for me in my life? And if we go with a purpose and we get a purpose and we get somebody that fits that purpose, that's a lifelong partner. Because the emotion has nothing to do with it. And that's a part of our issue that we have. We have been taught and we have been programmed that it's all about how you feel and how that person makes you feel. No, it's about your duties and responsibilities. This is why you don't open up your spirit or your heart to any and everybody. You only open up the ones that's worthy, the people who have earned it from you. And then you give the very best that you're able to give. And it never stops because they're not doing for you or you don't see what they benefit of the sexual pleasures, any emotional condition that you feel. That's why I say a mother's love is the purest form of love other than the Creator's love. The mother's love is the most purest form of love toward her child that I've seen, because a lot of times the child will totally disrespect the mother, walk away from the mother, treat the mother bad, but the mother still loves the child. So that's the best thing I can say is when you marry with the intent, why do I have you here? Why would I bring you into my life? How do you fulfill the goal and the mission that I have for my own journey? And that should go both ways. Not that you look good and I just want to have sex with you. Come on, now that's so far outdated, but we don't know that. Because we still going off of how you look and how you make me feel. And that's not how a man is supposed to take a wife. And if a man is a man, which a man can only be a man, a male cannot be a man unless he's taught. But if he's a man and she's a woman, they will learn to love each other. The real love will instinctively kick in. And it'll be a realness like they've never had, like they've never. It'll be something that would be newly introduced to.
Yeah.
But it has open to be real and genuine.
And you know, Prince, thank you, Prince. So true. We got one more caller, but I want to say this. I have two grandchildren. They're 6 and 8 years old. And I'm a student with them most of the time because I'm learning about immature emotions. And the 6-year-old boy is so strong-willed that he's really the best teacher because we have to figure out how not to spank him, but how to discipline him with love, because he'll say to me, I hate you, Grandma. Or he'll say to his dad, he said this many times, I hate you, Dad. And it's all because he can't get his way. And so, you know what, I come back and say, I love you more and more each day. So I'm learning from these children, these 6-year-old, the immature emotions that a lot of adults have. Because when I see the same behavior in adults, women especially, we're trying to build a strong sisterhood on the Female Solution. We got women who act like my grandchildren. That's how I look at it now. That they're saying they hate me, being critical of what I'm trying to develop, even if it's a relationship with a married man that's platonic. Like you said, that was powerful. You're not even having sexual relationships, but you're building strong relationships with women without the intimacy. That's what we do. That's what I do. And yet you have women who will be critical. And then I look at that and like, oh, it sounds like my grandchild. I hate you. I'm going to criticize everything you do because you have jealousy or insecurity, instead of saying, how can we work together to build a strong sisterhood and build up the men and help the men to heal from their problems, their addictions, and so forth. And so that's what I'm working with. I'm so grateful for these grandchildren, because every adult that I see, I got a plumb line. Oh, that's how my grandchildren act. Like, can we talk about that behavior that seems a little immature to me and unconscious, to say the least? So let me go to another caller, because we're running out of time. 773-960, your mic is open.
Yes, good morning. It's Cooper James. I'm also a prince. My family call me Prince of the Family. And that makes me honor my family when I go outside. It's a pleasure that my family respects me like that. I know during this time we are dissecting each other in the black community, which is good, but I think we should, the brother has a good example, continue to focus on the goodness, the ones that are having good relationships, and show the blueprint. You see? Where I am, it's like, you know, you've heard this term called 3D, 5D. People are stuck in this paradigm and all that. I'm at the 12th dimension. Now you can YouTube that 12th dimension, that you're evolving every day, because my love does not come from people. My love comes from nature. This is what I teach on my page. My love comes from the sun, you see? And if you look at this guy named Jesus, he was a pharaoh named Akhenaten, married to Nefertiti, and they preached the sun god. So I preach ancient history, and people get it. And they go, wow. And then they go, you know what? You know what, Kofi? I'm starting to love myself. I go, yes. Because you know, we come out the womb of our mother to see what? The sun. That's it. We know something's out there. We can feel it. So if you're having a problem with the sun, or you have a problem with your grandson saying, I hate you, get meditation, praising to the universe.
You make a good point about
there, once you get there, you can find self-love, and then love will be attracted to you. People are attracted to me because I have that love. And then they go, you know what? I want to try that.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You make a good point about religion and what people think about this Jesus person, because I learned at an early age, my mother was an alcoholic, and she loved Jesus, but she hated herself. She had such insecurity about herself that she was drowning her pain in alcohol. But Jesus music was always playing in the apartment. I'm like, this is kind of weird. You know, my mother's drowning her sorrow in alcohol every day, but Jesus is always in the room. I'm like, there's something weird about this Jesus. So I learned at an early age that, I think I need to move away from Jesus. I love people like you who are helping the so-called Christians understand who they worship, because you have people coming on this, even on this platform, talking about Jesus and God. We had somebody the other day say, am I pleasing God? And that's the people who come on criticizing you and gossiping and bringing all their destructive energy, and they're talking about Jesus and God. So let's not be hypocritical. Let's be more genuine and authentic. And you, Kofi, are a jewel, sharing knowledge about this Jesus name and the person, because it's been very deceptive. And I'll let Prince Yisrael comment on that, because he's in the community.
The greatest moment in my life was when I was a child. That innocence, that love, that passion I had, and I knew right then and there what I had as a child, 3, 4, 5 years old. I said, I am never going to destroy that, what I feel.
Yeah.
And even today, I'm 50 years old, I still have that same innocence, that love that's inside of me. That's that God. That's the God that we do not want to upset. We want to, you know what I mean? We're looking at God outside ourselves. You don't want to upset that God in you, because that gives you that peace.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
When that woman asked the question, am I pleasing God? I'm like, what are you talking? The Most High is inside here. The message from the Messiah was the kingdom is within you. So Prince Yisrael, how is that message being taught in your family about the kingdom being inside, and how is it helping people to come out of their pain and jealousy and all that?
Well, y'all get ready to open a can of worms. And them worms got teeth, and them worms bite, and sometimes them worms sting. And well, just for the foundation, so that you all understand, we don't teach the principle of Jesus at all. We don't teach the principle of Christianity at all. Christianity has been a tool that's been used, and it's going to be a little hard for some people on a call to hear and to understand and accept. But Christianity has been a tool by the adversary used to enslave our people and keep us enslaved mentally. And we get emotional with religion, because that's what religion teaches us, to be emotional. Therefore, when somebody speaks against our religion, it causes us to become bitter and hostile or angry or displeasing towards a person contrary to what we believe. You know, so unless you want me to have a religious conversation, I will. But you know, that's an area where when you're trying to build friendships or relationships, even with your distant family members, that's an area that I try to stay away from. Unless that person really wants to know the truth that I understand the truth to be. And then I'll open up and I'll explain to them. But other than that, that's the area that I don't like to touch. But I do not accept the westernized religions that they have placed out here for us, for our people. And Christianity was the number one that they placed on our people. It's all about that mindset. And everything that I say, it goes right back to the same source, this Western culture. See, what we're building is gradually, slowly but gradually, taking our people away from the Western mind state. Our people have been so far removed from our natural order of understanding and reasoning and logic. We've been so far removed from that because of all these different people we had ruling over us. Most of us probably only know about this culture right here, this society right here. But for the last several thousands of years, our people have been in captivity, and we've had different nations ruling over us, and each one has taken us a little bit further and further and further away from our natural order of doing things. We've learned from them all. Like my brother just mentioned, and not to be disrespectful to my brother, and I respect what the movements that he's decided to do for his life, but he just mentioned that everything comes from the and that we're born, and the first thing we see is the sun, and we thank the sun, all those things. But when we're born, usually we're born inside a hospital, so all we see is the imitation light and not the real sun or not the real light of the universe. And even in the light of understanding, even that's fogged, because we're learning from people who don't have knowledge at all. And what they have to give us is a watered-down version of something that they stole from our forefathers, reflipped it, and gave it back to us in a different way. So whether you're talking about the universal sun that we all see, or you're talking about the universal light of knowledge, we don't get it unless we go out to get it. Therefore, we have to put aside all that we support in this culture, growing up in this Western state, and take for ourselves what rightfully belongs to us. I pray that I haven't lost anybody. I pray that you all understand where I'm coming from. All right. It's all artificial. You know, we're so far removed from the natural order of things that when we're born into this world, like the brother mentioned, usually we're born in these hospitals. The light we see is not the real light, but an artificial light like everything else that they give us. But we don't even go and go out into the earth
When's the last time any of us went out and just took our shoes off and walked on the dirt? Not the artificial dirt, real dirt. And get away from the concrete. Get away from the earth. Get away from living in houses that keeps us concealed from the natural elements of the universe. See, these are things that we do. Therefore, it's watering us down and it's making us an artificial people. Our forefathers, although you might think that it was something crazy about it, but they lived in things made out of material, things made out of the earth, not remanufactured concrete that blocks the tentacles from our bodies communicating with the tentacles of nature. You see, this thing goes deep. And, you know, we got to return back to what the Father, the creator of all creation, had intended for us to return to. And actually, sis, I kind of like that sister that says she want to know if she's pleasing. I don't use the word God when referenced in the Almighty. But I like the fact that she says she wants to please the creator. She does have to understand that the Most High resides within her first. She does have to understand that. If she doesn't understand it, she must understand that. This is the first temple of the Creator. This is the first essence of the Most High. He dwells within us first before we just want to throw it out and give it out to someone else or somewhere else. That's where it all starts with us. And that's why we are so important to this part of the puzzle. But most of us don't even understand that. You know, most of our people, we still calling ourselves African Americans, still calling ourselves Negroes or bees and stuff like that. My dog, and the degrading things. We don't understand that we are the makers and the principal founders of this universe. We don't understand that. But that's something that we need to learn, and only with deeper knowledge and deeper understanding, but it has to come from people who truly understand that principle. Only with that understanding and only with that type of person, with that type of mind, can elevate to that. So.
Oh, my goodness. That's so much. I got to play this clip by Bruce Lipton about the first 7 years of our life, because Bruce Lipton is an amazing conscious scientist that explains why we behave as adults the way we do, because the first 7 years is where we develop a program. So let me play this, only about 3 minutes, and then I'm going to go to commercial. And Prince, just let me know if you have to leave, but I'm so appreciating your wisdom. But I just made me think about this audio I had. So it's about our
So we need to raise our children differently. Is that what you're
100%.
Saying?
100%.
What are we parenting? What do we do?
Well, we have to recognize, number one, that 95% of our behavior is coming from subconscious. So a child is going to record for 7 years, and they're going to record you. You have a new baby. That baby is going to look at you because you are the parent. The first thing a baby learns in the first week or two of life, who's the parent? Very important, because that's the reference point. If anything goes in their life, they're going to look at the parent first thing. A child on a playground is on a swing, falls off the swing on the ground. First thing it does is look at the parent. If the mother's like, ha, the kid starts crying. But if the mother goes, get up and get back on the swing, the kid gets back up on the swing. It's reflection. So you have to recognize a child is going to observe every move of you. Then you also have to recognize, well, hell, if 95% of it is coming from my invisible programming, I'm going to pass on the family pattern unconsciously. 95% of the day.
Family, country, society, pattern.
The whole pattern, whatever the pattern of growing up, the programming.
Okay. Unless I make a conscious effort?
It's a conscious effort to change your programming. It's very hard to stay conscious. This is why we always go back into the subconscious, because when you're thinking, that's a conscious mind function. So, Brian, what are you doing on Tuesday? If I ask you that, the answer's not out here. It's inside. So the moment you're thinking, you let go of driving the vehicle because you went inside. I go, well, it doesn't mean whatever you're doing, you stop walking or driving the car or doing a job. Those are programs in the subconscious because you've repeated them over and over again. So the subconscious is autopilot. When the conscious is busy, autopilot drives the vehicle. Point is, when conscious is busy, it's not observing what's going on. So let's say we're having this conversation in a car. And I've been driving for 10 minutes, and we've had this great conversation, and all of a sudden I look out the window. I go, you know, I haven't paid attention to the road while we have the conversation. But I go back and say, Can I say what the conversation was about? Yeah, we talked about this and this and this. And I say, and what was on the road during that 10 minutes? You go, I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. See, that's when the subconscious, so I say, how was your driving? And I go, it was whatever way you learned how to drive. If you had a bad driving instructor, then you were driving 10 minutes with lousy driving.
Okay. So okay. How can I change that then? I need to be more conscious of my subconscious?
You have to be conscious of, here's the problem. 7 years is programming. And I say, well, what program did you get when you were zero or one? You go, I have no idea what the hell the program was. And I say, 95% of your life is coming from the subconscious. Your life is a printout of your subconscious behavior. Oh, so you don't have to try and think about what happened. I just say, look at your life. The things you like that come into your life come in because you have a program that supports them. But anything you struggle with, work hard at, put a lot of effort into making it happen while you're working so hard, inevitably you have a program that doesn't support that conclusion and you're trying to override the program. So you don't need to do a lot of shrink and psychology stuff. You just look at your life and say, where am I struggling? Because wherever you're struggling, inevitably it's a program in your subconscious that does not support that destination you've been looking for.
Continue watching this fascinating conversation for free by clicking on the link below to visit our website.
So I think that's important for all of us to keep in mind. As Kofi and Prince Israel were saying, this Western culture has so shaped our minds that we cannot move to higher levels, many of us, because we're so programmed from birth to 7 years that this Western culture is right or good or the way we should be. And that's why so many women struggle with polygyny or any relationship that a man might have with a woman who it might just be total friendship. But because of the Western culture of thinking and the jealousies and the Hollywood movies, we're really struggling to move beyond this Western programming that is causing all kinds of conflict and pain. And the childhood pain comes in those 7 years that is still being worked out today. We're going to take our last break, and then we come back. We'll let Prince have the final word. And we want to help you get to a higher level of emotional intelligence by processing, recognizing, and processing any low frequency emotions like fear and anger, hate, so that we can indeed develop a community as Prince's development, an empire even, or a community that can bring us to a whole new level of understanding about who we are and who our creator is. So we'll be right back after the
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Joining us, and especially thank you, Prince, for hanging in there with us. We've had a lot of callers who are very interested and open to hear your wisdom and knowledge. So I have a question. Well, I have a comment from someone who texted me, and they said, have relationships where pathway leads to serving the Most High Yahuwah. I want to ask you, what do you think, when is a relationship no longer serving the Most High Yahuwah?
That's a very, very interesting question, but it's also very simple. Whenever there's conflict, tension, chaos within a relationship, it is no longer serving the Creator. No longer. There's no harmony there. There's no increase there. There's only negativity, taking away from, stressfulness. There's no growth. There's no development. There's no improvement. After a certain amount of time after living that type of relationship, that's exactly what you have, a relationship that cannot lead you to the path of the Most High. You can't serve Him in that type of relationship. Earlier I spoke about the man having a mind frame where he can focus on the thing that he needs to do. In a tension-filled relationship, he can't focus. I mean, just think about your own everyday life. Let's say if you haven't been paying a mortgage payment, and then eventually the mortgage company comes, for a while they don't say anything to you. They'll send you letters, send you documents. But when the sheriffs show up at your door and knock on your door, all of a sudden you can't focus. You're trying to get everything done last minute, real fast, real quick. It's very difficult to do. Very difficult to do. So it's just like that with a man trying to build something in a household with a woman that's bringing tension and stress into his life. I don't care what type of man he is or what position he holds with the nation, it will be weakened by having that type of relationship in your life. That's why it's best that you get away from that relationship, even if you have to be alone. Get away from that type of stress, and even for the women. Get away from that type of stress, bitterness, anger, hostility. Get away from the negativity and build. I pray that that answers your question, sir.
Yes, it does perfectly. So what is your top three suggestions to start building an empire as you're doing it? I know the most important thing, how I got in hold of you, and Mama AZ, I'm not sure if she's, Mama AZ introduced us. Because we are all looking at Bill. Oh, there's Mama AZ. Let me open her mic because she introduced me to you because she knows we are all about buying land and building communities that serve Mother Earth and stay outside in nature. Mama AZ, your mic is open. Are you remembering Prince Israel now?
Can you hear me, Dr. V?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, my dear brother. I'm doing my best. I have met so many people, but I've had so much stress and, how do you say, things that happen in my life. And I have to go back to this podcast because I just tuned in, Dr. V. I didn't realize how tired I was. You know, I never, ever, ever miss your podcast. We've been together for, what, over 9 years.
Yeah.
So I appreciate, my dear brother, the little bit that I heard, and I will go back. And we have to do another show because the downloads that I got yesterday and just what little I've heard you say today, it clicks. It clicks, and I can't be all upset because I don't remember certain things. I got to move forward from this time now and be in the now. And all I can say is I am so grateful, sir, for the intelligence that you have brought forth to the planet, your words, your demeanor, your wisdoms, because it is truly needed. And family, the best thing that we can all do for ourselves, like the brother said, if you're in a relationship and it is not in harmony with the Creator, don't trip because you might have to end up being alone. The best thing you can do is learn about you. Learn about you. And sometimes when you have another person in your circle that's taking the energy like an energy vampire, the best thing for us to do is be alone. I'm so grateful that another wife came into the picture to help take up a lot of the slack with my husband. I'm grateful. I see the benefits of other wives coming along and taking up the energy, helping so that you can develop your own soul. Being alone sometimes is the best thing that could have ever happened to each of us. I'll be quiet and listen. Thank you, Dr. V. Thank you, my dear brother. We'll
You're
have
welcome,
a reasoning. Thank us. Thank us.
So, Prince Israel, I ask you to give us the top three suggestions for women to develop a stronger sisterhood.
All right. First, if I may, the sister that brought me to you was Sister Trucilia.
Oh, okay. That's where.
Yes.
All right. There you go. Thank you. Yes. Confusion
Sister
there.
Trucilia.
That's why,
yeah.
Mama AZ, I don't remember him. Okay, so that's my other sister here in Orlando.
And I want to thank Mama AZ for those kind words that she spoke. And I appreciate that and respect that. And I can't wait to the opportunity I have to get to meet you in person. It will be a blessing. Now, the other, in response to your question, what are the top three things that a woman can do? And what was the rest of that? To build a stronger marriage?
Strong sisterhood, because that's where we're struggling. The women, I think the brothers want to see strong sisterhood to help them heal whatever they need heal. But we're struggling with that. Women be criticizing and gossiping and getting off into all kind of tangents because of this Western culture. But what would you give us wisdom on that?
All right. There are several things that I would like to... Women building a stronger sisterhood. First, the woman has to know herself. She has to know her limitations. She has to know her weaknesses and her strengths. Because without knowing those things, she cannot successfully contribute to the development of anyone else. Because she will allow certain things to trigger her where she's weak and she don't know that she's weak. And she'll think that the person is attacking her when in fact the person is doing their very best
with what they have to work with because they themselves don't know themselves. So first thing a woman has to do is know herself. Second thing that a woman has to do is pick a man who knows himself, because that's an issue. We got a lot of women joining relationships with men who are males. Let me say males because they're not men. A man is complete. Let me make that clear now. A man is complete in his understanding of who he is and how he is to move in the earth. A male is indecisive about so many things. He's not complete. He's not sure. He doesn't know. And he doesn't know himself. That's the beginning of his problem. So she first has to know herself. Then she has to understand and try to be as close to perfect in picking the man, a real man that already understands the principles of life that she's willing to be a part of. That's the second thing. And I guess the third is that she has to have a personal relationship with the Most High, with the Creator of all creation. Like, for example, this is why I mentioned this. And if the person, if the individual has that relationship, if that individual has that relationship with the Creator, it will teach her a real relationship. I'm not just talking about somebody who reads their Bible, read their scriptures. I'm talking about a real relationship with the Most High, where you're really conscious of everything that you do in your life to try to be the best person that you could possibly be and going according to the laws and the commandments that the Creator has left on record for us to live by. Because in those laws and commandments and statutes that the Father left for us to live by is the guide to teach others, to treat others, and to be more receptive and understanding of the treatment from others. So if she has that relationship with the Creator, like my one small example would be this. The woman has that relationship with the Creator, her husband don't have to worry about her having the right relationship with him. Because if her relationship with the Creator is in alignment, is proper alignment, the Creator teaches the woman how to have a relationship with her husband. Therefore, if they are both on the same path of servitude toward the Creator and bettering their lives, the both of them will know how to treat each other. But when there's separation or a cloudiness in the way, all we know is what we've been taught by this Western society, and that's selfishness. I only know how to treat myself and what I want and not what I need to do to help somebody else. And that's not good. Or even to understand somebody else. That's not good. But if we, in my opinion, those would be the three things that a woman needs to build a healthy sisterhood. That's what, well, I would say. Those three things.
Yeah. Well, that really sums it up really well. Let me, we got a couple more. We're going to probably go over, but I understand, Prince, if you have to leave, just let me know. But I've got a couple more callers who probably want to chime in. And 706-202, Brother Kwame Sunhorse, your mic is open.
Grand Rising, Sister Viata, and Grand Rising to Mama AZ and the listening audience. And greetings to my brother, Prince. I've heard you on the other show speaking with Sister Viata before. And I live here in Edenton, Georgia. I'm on the stolen lands of the Muscogee Creek. And that is very true about know thyself and the woman knowing herself. The thing that I'm feeling is that, okay, to form a sisterhood, but the other part too is forming a brotherhood, because the thing that I've learned, I'm going up next month to help another clan of initiates, and the sister has a healing lodge in Maryland, and what we have done there is build it to where 9 months they go through a program and they get repairs and helping repair them. And for years I've been going up there now doing ceremony with them. And the first time I went, I was asking, okay, how is it that you're repairing women and guiding them in the direction, but you're sending them back in the community with broke men? They're going to get damaged again. So it was looking at that challenge, and that's the same thing I'm hearing now. Guidance in how to form sisterhood, but how do we repair brotherhoods? I'd like to hear your input.
Greetings, my brother. I think that the work you're doing is very important. I pray that the Creator bless your efforts and that he calls you to prosper in that area. If you understood, well, I pray that you have understood, but if you still have the question in mind, I guess you're asking how to do it. But I did speak on certain type of characteristics between males and men. It's a difference. Men know how to have a relationship with other men because they respect the other man and they honor the other man. Males hold off similar relations, but they don't honor and respect the next man or the next male. They hold things in secret. They hide things. One of the first steps to building a stronger brotherhood between men is honesty. The same principles about being a man. Men will know how to deal with men. Males won't know how to deal with men. Therefore, males can't walk with men. And if they do, they're only there to get what they want so that they can get out. Men have a greater purpose and mission in life. And once the men are all in sequence and understand the purpose and why we're here, nothing can stop them. Nothing. So in order to build a relationship with males, the first thing is you have to teach them to be a man. You have to go to the smallest thing that's holding them away from the realities of who they are and their existence and work from that point and build them up. I would like to say it's different from the womanhood. With the men, what we would have to do is first understand the principles of duty and responsibility of a man. If we understand the principles and duties, responsibilities of a man, then we can begin to work together as men. But if we're coming in as males who really don't want to grow and develop and be a part of anything substantial, anything great, then we're wasting our energy and time pouring into an individual that only wants something selfishly for themselves and not for the overall picture. For example, what it is that I hear you saying today is how you went up to Maryland and you came a part of that movement there where they were helping women to build themselves. And the first thing you thought about was you're sending them back into a society, but what are you doing to help men that when they go back, the men are able to receive them without damaging them? So what does that show me? That means that you're on the level of a man because you was able to see the needs of someone else. You were able to see how what needs to be done to help someone else other than yourself, because it ain't about you. It's about people. It's about the nation. It's about the development and proper education for someone else other than yourself. So that shows me the level of manhood that you're working on, and I respect that. I have a lot of respect for it. A male would have been in there trying to figure out how he can get in somebody's underwear or how he can get some money from the situation or how he can come up. Men worry about other people and other people's development and not just himself because he's aware of who he is. So in order for us to build a strong manhood, we first have to teach males how to become men. And teach males how not to be selfish, but yet, what's that word, like philanthropists? They give philanthropy. They do for others. And that's what we need to begin to do. Once we remove the selfishness and we can all see the overall picture and overall goal, then we can be successful. We can achieve things. We can get things done that ordinarily males are not able to achieve and get done. Hold on one second, please.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Brother Kwame. That was a great question. We needed that question. And I see we got one more caller. We'll see if we can squeeze, and we're over time. We got one more caller. 111, 111, your mic is open. Are you there?
My apologies. My apologies. Please forgive me.
Okay.
I pray that I've helped you or at least answered your question, my brother. But men need to communicate more often with other men. If we got males, we need to elevate them up to becoming men. But those men who are of a like mind needs to be in conversation, communication, and have sit down and meet. Even if we're of different faith, we still need to bring that manhood, that manliness together so that we can help other people to develop to the level that they need to be. So if there's anything I can do to help in your process, please let me know. I make myself available for you.
All right, and I appreciate love you for that, my brother. And for I use words as acronyms, and a man is to make another nation. Men are mastering earthly natures.
Hallelujah. Thank us. So you two brothers are in Georgia. I don't know how far apart you are, but if it's okay, I'll send you the number, phone number, so maybe you guys can get together. Is that okay?
That's good for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm thinking. So we need to get these men together to build this nation. And all you males out there who are struggling with your addictions and all the other challenges, relationships, you need to hook up with them so you can be in class. Both these brothers are going to lead the class. All you males who are struggling with relationships and your addictions, sign up for the class, okay? We'll be bringing you more information as these two men get together to help you brothers who are still in your male mind and your struggle and your conflict mind and your addiction mind. And we're going to do this together. That's what the Female Solution is all about. We're here, not perfect women, but we're all these women on the Female Solution are here to help raise your consciousness to a place where we can build some empires like Brother Prince Israel and make this a better nation for those of conscious mind. Not this West. We got to get out of this Western culture, that's for sure. So Prince Israel, thank you so much for hanging in there with us. You were here 2 hours almost, and I so appreciate you. Have a wonderful day. May the Most High continue to bless you in all your ways, and I'll be in touch. I may have to call on you again. But let us know if you and Brother Kwame come up with some type of class or gathering even where we, either the women or men, can participate, because that's what we're here for, building a conscious family. So thank you.
Anytime, sis. And if you have a need, reach out to me, and I'll do my best to assist.
All right. Much love and shalom to you. Have a wonderful weekend. Have a wonderful life. Yah bless you abundantly. Everybody, remember tomorrow, let's see, at noon, we have Wisdom with Mama D. So tune in. And I'm saying thank you to all our global family.
But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie.
Xiexie.
Zanyaba.
Zanyaba.
Japan. Arigato.
Arigato.
Korea. Kamsahamnida.
Kamsahamnida.
Russia. Spasiba.
Spasiba.
Germany. Danke. Poland. Jeong kunyo. France. Merci.
Spain.
Gracias. Italy.
Gracias.
Grazie.
Egypt.
Shukran. Ghana. Medasi. Nigeria.
Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Joy, 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 joy.
And may peace
joy,
be upon you and the mercy of God. And God.